Warning. The episode you are about to listen to is for entertainment purposes only. If you are easily offended and do not have a bit of a dark, quirky sense of humor, this podcast may not be for you. All opinions expressed are just for fun. Get ready for some effing and jeffing with Kate and Mark in Back to Bond. Enjoy.
Hey, Bondies.
We are begging for cash, so if you think what we do is all right...
And you want to make a little donation...
Please go to buymeacoffee.com/backtobondpodcast.
Minimum donation is $5, which is around £3.95.
Thanks, Bondies.
I've been expecting you, Mr. Bond.
To episode 10.
Number 10.
Of Back to Bond podcast. Today we're going to be talking about...
The Spy Love.
With you as always is my fabulous Uncle Mark.
Oh. And my glamorous, gorgeous niece, Kate.
All right then, so...
I know, Kate.
Spy Who Loved Me, are we going to start with the MGM synopsis?
Oh yeah, go on, do the MGM synopsis.
Nobody does it better than Bond, and he proves it once again in this explosively entertaining adventure that takes him from the Egypt pyramids to a gravity-defying mountaintop ski chase. Roger Moore brings inimitable style to Agent 007 as he and the beautiful Soviet agent Anna Amosova team up to investigate missing Allied and Russian atomic submarines following a deadly trail that leads to billionaire shipping magnate Carl Stromberg.
That is exactly what happens.
Pretty much, yeah.
We'll just have toast and then just not.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the rest of the that's it.
We've got Lewis Gilbert comes back to direct it after the underperforming Man with the Golden Gun, which was not big box office for the Broccolis.
Which was a shame because... I thought it was very good.
We enjoyed it.
You've got Christopher Lee.
Oh, God, yeah. Heavy hitter, yeah. It had a lot of great stuff in it. I think the reason why it underperformed, I think, was Guy Hamilton's direction in that one. Where I think there was a lot of, oh, this will do. Oh, I don't know where this is going to go. We'll just put it in anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't think he kind of was on his A game. Whereas Lewis Gilbert had had 10 years off from You Only Live Twice and came back to doing this in 77. And so I think it came back fresh. Plus, I don't know if you know this, but it won 3 Oscars for Best Original Song, Best Score, and Best Art Direction. I didn't know it till I researched it on Wikipedia.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know any Bond films.
I didn't realise it got Oscars.
Got Oscars. Well, I know that Billie Eilish has got an Oscar for our song.
Oh, yeah. I think one of the Craig ones did for the cinematography.
Oh. But yeah, I didn't know any of the earlier Bonds.
I didn't realise it got like this. Bagged 3 of them on the same night.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a big deal.
Yeah, that's really good. Anthony Burgess, who wrote Clockwork Orange, had submitted a script originally for it. I'd love to have read the craziness of an Anthony Burgess version of The Spy Who Loved Me.
Would have been wild.
Yes. It might have been too crazy. Because we've all seen Clockwork Orange. You've seen Clockwork Orange, haven't you?
I have, yes. I waited until it got unbanned and they showed it on Channel 4. I think by the time I watched it, I would have been in the mid-teens, and so I didn't see what the huge... I was, like, waiting for, like, a scene be like, oh, this is so traumatic, I can see why it was banned. But, yeah, it was just alright. I mean, it's a good film.
It was bootleg videos that went around, but they were really horrible and they were grainy.
Oh.
And so you might as well not watch them. One of them was sort of E.T., but was in Taiwanese and stuff like that.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You get the these really dodgy bootlegs. And so it had a reputation... I've got to be quite honest, right? I laughed at half of it. Your mum said it was the most shocking thing she'd ever seen.
Really?
Yeah. But where they were in the car, I laughed at.
Some of it, even though it's like shocking, it's like very darkly comical.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen Straw Dogs?
I have seen Straw Dogs.
That was shocking.
Yeah.
I imagine it was going to be more shock value like that, but I thought it was incredibly well filmed by Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah.
Who, linking it up with The Spy Who Loved Me, actually lit the set in the submarine set for The Spy Who Loved Me, which is really weird. Oh,
well, did you realise that John Landis, of all people, had a hand in the writing of this?
Oh, yes. Along with Richard Maybaum, who usually does them anyway. So John Landis had done it, but handing the script and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
But also Christopher Wood, who was the Confessions of a Window Cleaner, right?
Oh my God, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
We love them.
That's why you've got that bit at the end.
Yeah. And what an odd choice.
Yeah, like John Landis. Yeah, famous go with for him. American Werewolf in London.
This is true.
Directing thriller.
Yeah.
He's done loads of stuff, but those are the top two.
Yeah, yeah. He's just looked at the thing and he's went, oh, Confessions of a Window Cleaner, I'll go with that.
Yeah.
You just get his, just get the one that wrote that, he can get in and do a bit.
It's obviously a big film.
It's a big move.
Didn't see that on the Academy Awards list.
Oh, no. The script doesn't get an award. It should do because it has some really quotable stuff in it.
Yeah.
And you keep it, well, you know, the end bit's really good. Here we should dive into 1977.
To contextualise the film that we're about to talk about, this is The World in 1977.
Yeah.
Fleetwood Mac Rumours.
Yeah.
That amazing album is released.
I've got a confession.
What?
I've never heard it all the way through.
Stevie Wonder has a number one with Sir Duke.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was just number one in America.
Yeah.
But that song is a classic. It's the test of time.
Oh, it's brilliant. It's about Duke Ellington, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I love it.
Which I didn't know until recently. Song's a banger.
I love it. I think it's great.
You can break the news.
Elvis dies. Now, I've got to be honest. Growing up, I was never a big Elvis fan. But something happened that I'm not allowed to talk about with Priscilla. No, something happened, and I would probably have been early 20s, I bought Elvis's Greatest Hits, and I heard that voice booming out. I thought, wow, this is incredible. I heard Suspicious Minds for the first time.
Oh, classic.
From the guitar bit onwards, and I thought, wow, he's such a great singer.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just a brilliant interpreter of people's songs, because he never wrote his own songs.
No, that's true.
You know?
He was an entertainer, though. He didn't have to...
Was brilliant. And the 68 comeback and all that, so it was really good. So it is quite sad that he died, though.
Who's James Kirkup?
James Kirkup was a poet, and in 1977 was taken to court because he wrote a poem about Jesus and a Roman centurion having sex. And you were just saying about Mary Whitehouse?
Oh, yeah. So technically Mary Whitehouse or her company or something like that took him to court, managed to get him on some charge of blasphemy, which hasn't been, I don't think has been used since.
Nah. I don't think it really had a big impact on his career because he just continued writing, you know, like Japanese poet in the...
Haikus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he lived there with his partner.
Oh.
And he never came back to Shields.
Oh. South Shields?
South Shields. Sunny South. Woo. Yeah. It's rattle gone.
Did you know, however, Elvis's funeral, the whole fleet of white limos, etc.
Oh, yeah.
Supposedly Elvis's favourite colour was white. Very ethereal. And two 19-year-old girls were hit by a drunk driver whilst waiting to go into Graceland to see Elvis's body.
Was it?
Yeah. Two people died, one was injured.
Oh my God.
Alice Hovatar and Juanita Johnson.
Yeah.
Absolutely tragic. And I'd never heard this fact before about Elvis's funeral. You hear all about someone sneaking in with a camera and the droves of people that went past his coffin to pay the respects. And two 19-year-old girls got killed. So it's just really sad.
Forgive me, but my mind, when you said two 19-year-old girls, I thought they'd barge their way into the coffin.
Oh.
I don't know, for some kind of sect thing or something.
No.
But not. The ghost. God, no, that's big news, that.
Yeah, like...
That wasn't in the movie.
Drunk driver, runaway car kind of scenario.
Ooh, that's bizarre.
Other facts then. I'll be quick.
Roots is brilliant. Alex Haley's Roots is incredible.
Roots premieres in America with LeVar Burton.
Yeah.
Or LeVar Burton even. He's later famous for Star Trek Next Generation. Oh, he's Data. Right.
Oh, yes. I've got... Yeah, I know
but what you mean. Career is launched with Roots.
Great show.
Haven't seen it.
Not seen it. Oh, the DVD of it.
Seen little set. Clips of it when it was, I'm guessing it was like the 30th or 40th anniversary of Roots or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So they did like a big documentary. But I need to watch it.
Oh, it's great. Oh, it's really, really good.
It's got
great.
John Amos in as well. He's the dad in Coming to America.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I think he was in like Good Times as well.
He probably but, was, yeah, yeah. They've also got the Kunta Kinte, which is the name of the one of the characters in it.
Yeah, that's LeVon Burton's
is
character.
That LeVon Burton, Kunta Kinte? Oh, it's brilliant. It's so worth watching. We've got the Queen's Jubilee, which is very in keeping with The Spy Who Loved Me, obviously because it has a great big Union Jack.
Yeah.
That comes on the parachute thing. And it was right in the middle of quite a feverish thing about all things British. Do you know what I mean? At that particular time. Because we joined the EU from about 70...
I want to say 73. Or maybe 73.
I think 73.
Or let's just say 75.
I know
that in 77, a UK person is the ambassador of the European Economic Council.
Mm.
Because it was the European Economic Community before it was the EU.
The Jubilees, everybody had parties, street parties for it. But you know, it was a big thing in them days, you know what I mean? I'd only be about 9 years old, so I was...
Real community event.
Actually, it was in Auntie Bet's garden. We had it in Auntie Bet's garden. There's a picture of us looking really, really young. Oh, dead cute.
Any Arnold Schwarzenegger fans? Pumping Iron is released at Cannes Film Festival.
I like that. That was good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
That's a great movie.
A little bit of grim world events.
Go on then.
We've got in France, the last execution by guillotine is performed. You're not meant to say guillotine with the L's because it's a double L, and because it's a French word, you say guillotine.
Guillotine.
I know.
Oh, it sounds nice, huh?
It doesn't it? So...
So they're still chopping people's heads off?
Yeah. I know I'm like super against the death penalty, but Hamidi Jandoubi. So he was the last person to get executed by guillotine in 1977. However, he forced a woman into prostitution, and when she reported it to the police, he then raped her, tortured her, and then strangled her to death. She was called Elizabeth Bousquet. I don't think he was very subtle. Yeah, got caught and then guillotined, so rightly so.
Oh, yeah. Chop him off. Should chop his willy off first.
The Yorkshire Ripper.
He's still on his killing spree.
Yep. 1977. We don't know who he is yet.
Was it 75?
I think it was 75. Gets caught in 1980.
All the family were on train to Edinburgh. There was a guy in the carriage, right? And this guy was really creepy looking. And then in 1981, about sort of 3-4 years after the train thing, we were sitting watching the TV, and the night that they arrested the Yorkshire Ripper, I turned round and I went, that's the guy from the train.
Oh.
It was a spitting image. It was really frightening. As a child, I could feel the kind of...
evil.
Yeah. It was bizarre.
Oh.
But he did used to go to Scotland a lot.
Oh. Famous deaths.
Go on. Mark Bolan.
Yep.
I love T-Rex.
Brilliant Mark Bolan. And I do want to clear up an injustice. His girlfriend, Gloria Jones, tainted love.
Oh, God, yeah.
Was driving. However, Mark Bolan was not wearing a seatbelt.
Oh, yes. When the mini got wrapped around the tree, when it hit the tree, and all that, bless them. So is that how Gloria Jones survived? Because she was
seatbelted. Yeah, but she was really seriously injured, though.
Oh, yeah. His son's Roland Borland does loads of stuff to kind of keep the T-Rex and Mark Borland thing still going on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he's a really good ambassador.
Oh, well, I mean, the T-Rex catalogue speaks for itself. Oh, it's really good. Okay. Charlie Chaplin dies.
Charlie
Chaplin. 77.
Oh, yeah, of course. Oh, yes, I know, sorry about Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah.
It's a family story. One of the great heads who we're related to by me mum's side of the family, Charlie Chaplin's dad played his music hall in Hull the night that Charlie Chaplin Jr., the mother had given birth to Charlie Chaplin, the night that his dad was playing the music hall where one of our relations owned.
Oh.
That's a bit weird.
Yeah.
And he was called Bosco Leotard. And so in loads of movies, loads of Charlie Chaplin movies, you'll see Emperor Bosco as a kind of tribute to him. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
It's quite spooky, that.
I guess an important death would be Cyril Radcliffe. He was the first Viscount of Radcliffe. He dies in 1977. And the reason why I'm mentioning him is because he was instrumental in the partition of India. Rest in piss, Cyril Radcliffe.
Cyril Radcliffe.
Troubles deaths, 111 that year.
Oh, is it?
Yep. So numbers coming down, but it's still really terrible. And
yeah.
East German news. The GDR had to do what was called Mischkaffee, which meant mixed coffee, because the imports for coffee was so expensive in the East Germany that they had to do like their own mix where it was like half coffee, half sugar beet and other general shit to pad it out. Eventually they did make a trade agreement with Vietnam for coffee.
Did they?
East Germany, 1977 was the year for Mischkaffee.
Mischkaffee. Oh, actually one little thing.
Yeah.
David Bowie's Law came out in 1977.
It did, I read that.
Oh, brilliant record.
Oh my god.
I fucking love it. Yeah.
That's the world we're living in.
Oh.
For...
it's the world we have created. And now, I'm going to go...
we're going in?
Come on, let's go in. Oh no, I just said going deep there for that thing. Let's go into the movie. Roger Moore's gun barrel scene. Nothing wrong with it.
No.
Quite swift, actually. Diddly-diddly-diddly. Submarine.
Yeah, we're in a submarine.
There's... submarine.
I mean, it's just very establishing. Is it meant to be the British submarine?
Yes.
Oh, is that why?
Because they get rescued at the end.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I have the little bit where...
spoilers.
Spoilers. Nobody's seen this before. I like the bit in the submarine when they build it all up, right, and you see that I'm shaking this cup like this.
Oh, yeah, I've got that written down.
Oh, well, the cups shake.
The cups shake, and then the lights go on to the red.
Yeah, I thought it was really good.
And then you don't see what happens, which I thought was very good, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a bit of suspense.
Because it just builds it all up, doesn't it? And then I've got George Baker, who was actually, I was telling you, was in on Her Majesty's Secret Service as the genealogist. And he was saying there's a lost nuclear submarine.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Got other guys telling Russia guy what's happened.
Yeah, Gorgol, you know, because then it goes to Gorgol and he goes, I'm going to have to get in touch with Agent XXX.
Oh, did you like how they did this bit? It cuts to XXX.
Oh, she's in the bed?
No.
Oh, go.
So, well, it cuts to XXX and you think it's Roger Moore on top of her, but then you notice that hairy back and you're like,
that back's hairy.
That's not Roger. And then... but then you're assuming that guy's XXX.
Oh, yes. But it's not
but
true.
But it's not.
Because the glamorous...
it's the lady.
Barbara Bach
is our Bond girl for today.
Oh, yeah. I love Barbara Bach, innit?
Yeah, she was very good.
She was very, very good. She was tough.
Yeah?
I like that. She was very good. She was no Tiffany Case.
No.
You know, and then obviously got the Q scene, Money Penny pull-out thing.
So we realise... Anatov is the agent. Is she meant to be shagging?
She shags the guy that's in the ski scene that James Bond shoots.
Oh, because the time thing isn't very... I thought she was just shagging some guy because that's what secret agents do.
Have a bit of nookie.
Because then he gets over to Austria pretty quick because then M's asking Moneypenny where's James Bond and he's like, oh, he's in Austria. Get him to pull out.
Get him to pull out. That's because he's having a bit of nook-nooks.
That's because he's having a shag some Austrian woman.
Yeah.
That agent, that other guy who Triple X has just shagged, is now already in Austria, ready to kill James Bond. So that's why I was confused.
I think it's a huge plot hole.
Oh, which is
I think they've probably just thought, oh, they're not going to query this.
Oh, and I've came along and ruined it.
Yeah, because I think, like, with a little bit of judicial editing, it could have made more sense, but it didn't really make sense, as you say. Because he was in the bed with her.
Yeah.
And all that, and then all of a sudden... So Bond pulls out.
Bond pulls out right in the middle.
And then it goes to, but James, I need you. Yes, so does England.
Oh, yes.
You know, there's your scampi and chips. I'm off out to do a bit of skiing and get chased.
It was very good. I mean, I'm technically not counting this woman as a shag because we don't see it.
We don't see it. Is she naked?
I'm assuming so.
She's got that watch, hasn't he, where the thing comes out of the watch?
Oh, yeah, I did like that.
I like that.
That was good.
I would mind one of them.
I thought it was, like, really modern. Like a telegram.
Telegram on the watch. Yeah. Telegram on the watch thing, yeah. The gadget watch.
Yeah. I thought it was very good. Do you want to discuss the ski scene?
I've got to be quite honest. I loved the wizard. I mean, it was great. It obviously must have took some preparation to do it. And there was a lot of shooting.
I had to get a special stuntman called Rick Sylvester.
Oh, yes.
And...
to go off the end.
They had loads of people filming it, but only one camera caught the entire
thing. Yeah,
and it can only be done once because I think he blustered it a little bit and said, like, oh, I can do this, no problem. And he'd actually never done it before. And so once they'd filmed it that one time, they were like, yeah, that's fine. We'll get that sorted.
Do you remember we seen it on the big screen?
Yes.
It was very impressive.
It was good.
Because it was massive, as you say, in that bit where it goes down. You can see one of the skis falling off. And then where it looks like he's slightly failing. And then obviously the Union Jack comes up. Now, I remember as a kid when we went to see that, I can remember people stand up cheering.
Yeah.
You know, when he's going down like that and it comes up, the Union Jack, and everybody's like sort of... I remember getting a cheer actually in the cinemas. But it's great though. It's a great opener.
Oh, this is up there.
It's up there. It's brilliant.
It's patriotic.
It is a very... I don't know, actually. Yeah, it's a very patriotic movie, even though the Union Jack in later years become very problematic.
Yeah.
But it's all over the Bond movies.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Weird,
obviously, so he kills, for now, we'll just say, unknown bad guy with a ski pole gun before he jumps off the...
Oh, yes, he does, doesn't he?
Yeah.
The music's great.
The music's very good.
Yeah, it's great. I love it. Boyfriend gets killed. And then we've got the theme tune with Carly Simon. Nobody does it better.
I think somebody could have sang that better. And that was perfect word. Carly Simon is in no fear of her job.
No, she could rest easy.
Yeah. But
great singer, though.
Excellent singer. Great song.
Yeah.
The Do, it's not written by Carly Simon, but she's a really good songwriter. And
Carol Biasia wrote it, if I remember right.
Oh.
Is it Carol Biasia?
I feel like that's correct.
Carol Biasia, I'm sure it is. I love the song because... it's, you know, like, nobody does it better. So it's obviously about the character James Bond as opposed to what the song's about.
Yeah, you know, like, the song's not about the film.
Son of All, Diamonds Are Forever. And then, like, going all the way through because there's only a little bit where she goes, The Spy Who Loved Me.
Yeah.
A beautiful song.
I always go through like the whole song and being like, oh my god, it's not going to mention the theme. It's not going to mention, like, the theme isn't going to mention the film title. And obviously it's that sneaky line.
It's slipped in. Great singer.
Yep.
You're So Vain.
You're So Vain. Oh. There's other Carly Simon songs that escape us, but You're So Vain is an excellent song.
I went through Spotify and listened to quite a few. Her songs are very unusual songs. Yeah. Very, but good though, but really, really good. I really, really liked it. It was a great song. What it was reaffirming was, right, we've had 3 years off, and this is going to be an absolute ride of a movie.
Yeah.
You know, and you're going to get your money's worth, which you did.
The credits are very James Bond credits. Mm-mm. The only thing that I wanted to point out is that all of the women in the credits scene are fully nude.
Oh, yeah, you do see the bouncing boobies.
You see,
you know,
some tit in this film, well, in the credits sequence, which I felt like I wasn't ready for.
It was a bit more soft porn. It was like Emmanuel would have been out in 76. I wouldn't have seen it because I'd been 8 years old and it wouldn't have had any fascination for it.
Wasn't your genre.
It's not my genre. Get them in the sand. But anyway, it was, to me, I felt it was a lot more risky. I think they felt like they could be risky.
Oh, yes.
Naughty, naughty.
Because I'll bring up another incident later on when we get to it. Mm. The credits have ended. We're in Russia. This is when Amosov is being told that our boyfriend's been killed in Austria and nuclear subs are missing.
Yeah.
And she's the best and she's going to go sort it out.
Yeah.
And, oh yeah, it sucks that your boyfriend's died.
Because Gogol says, I know you were very close to him and all that.
And I was watching thinking, well, hardly, she was shagging some other guy a minute ago, but obviously not realising.
I know, I was a bit fuddled though. I like the bit because it focuses on Barbara Bach's face, right? And she doesn't say anything, but you can see the sadness in the eyes.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that's a sign of a good actress, that though.
I thought it was very good. We're in a ship. There's a little brief queue scene.
Oh, yes. Is this the one where Bond's dressed in his navy uniforms?
Yes.
Yes, we've got all that.
He's just saying about heat signatures and
the Polaris missile thing, which actually was a real missile.
Oh, yeah.
Weapon and all that.
I was kind of I felt like the mission wasn't really spelled out, but basically Bond's off to Egypt and he's going to get the microfilm.
Oh, yeah, he wants the microfilm. Because there was a little thing on the corner of the picture, wasn't there?
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, there's a little thing. Can I enlarge that? And he gets on the little thing. And
That's later on. Anyway, he's off to Egypt.
Because that's there's the a premise. Similar tropes on the screen with Lewis Gilbert's You Only Live Twice when he goes, just zoom in on that picture. I know where that is. And they can see the thing. So I was thinking, that's very similar. And also the spaceship goes into another spaceship. And in this one, the submarine goes into a tank. Do you know what I mean? So I was thinking there was a few similarities.
Yes. We're finally getting to meet the villain of the film, Stromberg.
Oh, yes.
Who is played by Kurt Jurgens.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a famous actor. However, I thought he was the time-travelling bad guy in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
You did?
And it's not, I checked. I was a little bit disappointed.
Well, yeah.
But he's still really good.
Oh, he's good. He's really good. I didn't research what movies he'd done.
Oh, I checked. It's just
war movies.
Yes, a lot.
Yeah.
He was a prolific actor. He was very good.
Oh, he was good. He was good. I liked his. He was kind of measured, wasn't he? He wasn't over the top.
You know
what I mean? It didn't have any facial.
No disfigurements.
It was just called Stromberg.
Yeah, he was just mental, that you find out later.
The Dr. Becker scene and all that.
In the lay.
Well, I loved that. Oh, I thought that looked lush. All them lovely paintings that were on. They say, we've got a spy. And then the lady gets killed by the shark.
Yeah, you think one of the men's going to get killed.
I think it's going to be the men. It's not the men.
Yeah, so she gets killed.
Funny hairdo.
Yeah, she was a bit weird looking.
Yeah, she had a weird hairdo. Gets killed by the Shaw. Then the guys get in the lift, don't they? Because obviously there was a shoot.
Oh yeah, so you the know. Lead up to her getting killed is that she gets asked to go in another room. Men go, talk.
Go in the lift.
The bottom drops out of the lift, so she gets dropped into the shark tank. And that's when he lifts the paintings to see her being killed.
Ah, yeah. Very similar to Sean Connery going down to the chute and end up in Tanaka's
little office.
Except didn't have a shot at the end of Chewie.
That's true.
Chew him up. So, like, yes, the guys...
Oh, yeah.
The so guys get in the helicopter.
Yeah, and they're shitting it going down in the lift, but it's fine. And then they get in the helicopter.
Because he goes, I'll give them 10 million, and then he goes, cancel that 10 million. And then we see the helicopter in the sky get blown to shit.
Yeah, so they were right. They were right to be shitting themselves.
That was good.
That was good.
That whole the segment was very, very well played. Go on, what you've got next to me, Doc?
We'll get introduced to Jaws.
Oh, yes, I've got that. Jaws microfilm needs recovering.
Jaws is off to Egypt. He's got his own little henchman. Who's just some bull guy.
Oh, yeah, he just did. He's a very angry...
Angry small bull guy, angry, but everyone angry. Looks small compared to Jaws. Yeah, they're off to Egypt. And then guess who else is in Egypt?
James Bond.
Wearing, I put originally, traditional Egyptian dress. Actually, he's wearing a taub. That's more general Middle Eastern Lawrence of Arabia.
He meets his friend. Oh, well, the music's playing, isn't it?
Yes.
And it's very David Lean-esque. It's filmed great. He ends up in the tent and the guy goes, do you want to stay?
His friend that he knows from Oxford, who now lives in Egypt.
Yep.
As an Egyptian man.
As an Egyptian man, but
from
it's
maybe
not
the 1800s.
But there's no Egyptian look to him.
That man is British through and through.
He's British through and through. And then he goes, are you sure I can't make you change your mind? And then this gorgeous girl lands beside him and he goes, well, in Egypt, one must first delve into its treasures.
That's right. There's just a really sad young woman comes in with a rose. We're going to put her as Shag 22.
Oh, yes.
Although normally wouldn't because we don't know her name and we don't see the pursuit. However, we're going to assume that treasure's remark.
I know, I'm going to delve in. Can you imagine that as a child?
He's going to bury himself in those treasures. Good
perhaps
God.
Perhaps if I was born heterosexual.
But the whole point of that scene is that he tells them about Kalba, but he has to speak to Fakesh first.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this scene could have not existed. No. But whatever.
Where's Fakesh? I thought I was saying Fagash at one point. Where's Fagash?
Fagash, Lil.
I know, just round the corner having a fucking one bang.
And then we're in Fakesh's house.
We do a girl get shot thing.
Yep, which is similar to the film.
From Rush Hour with Love.
Yes.
It also, I think, features in the follow-up to The Spy Who Loved Me, Moonraker. I'm sure it's got another one with the eye thing.
He's very observant.
He's very gallant because he just shoves the right way. He's thinking, fuck this. You're going to get shot.
I didn't realise this until I checked, but her name's Felicia.
Well, she was lovely, but very unused.
Olga Becerra. She could have been a Bond girl on her own, right? They should have kept her Bond girl in our film.
She was good.
She's good looking.
She had it going on, didn't she?
He's sensually kissing information out of her.
Yeah.
She's well up for it.
She's loving it.
And then you see a little gun poking out of the mashrabia, which is what you call the little wooden windows.
Oh my God, you've done it. God,
and so he pokes the little gun. Pokes the little gun out the hole. Two kisses from James Bond. She's ready to fucking die for him.
Oh, she's going to see it. Yeah, but Kate's got a big crush on Roger Moore, haven't you?
That's true. So I would have been the same. I would have been like, no! And she turns herself around so she gets shot instead of James. And then he just throws her on the bed and then just falls off after the bald guy.
Get rid of it. Get the bald guy. Oh, yes, the tie scene.
The roof scene's very good.
I like that bit. It was much more tougher. It was more of a Connery Bond.
Yeah.
He's got the tie and he just goes like that, doesn't he? And knocks it.
Yeah, so he's...
quite campy, he's actually.
So he catches up with the bald guy. He's trying to get information out of him whilst holding him by the tie, but kind of leading him over the edge.
Oh, I hated that bit because I hate height.
And then he gives up the information and he just lets him go anyway.
And he goes, what a helpful chap.
Oh, was that the death quip?
Yeah, that was the quip. What a helpful chap. Where Connery says the quip, and you think he's not really enjoying seeing these quips. More like relishes.
Yeah.
Because they're so well timed.
That's true. I feel like they wrote extra quips for him.
Oh, God, yeah. Ken Adams said, I mean, this might come to shock to you, that it was easier to work with Roger than it was with Sean because Roger was a joker on the set.
Yeah.
And he liked to have a laugh and all that. Where Connery, especially towards the end, the only thing Connery used to seize about was how much money the producers were getting, how much money he was getting.
Oh, God. I feel like the big main difference between Connery's Bond, or like the kind of atmosphere between Connery's Bond and Roger Moore's Bond, is that Roger Moore is actually enjoying playing Bond and is finding it like a bit of an honour and not an absolute chore, obligation that Sean Connery had to do. I think he enjoyed the first one or two.
He did actually because, well, I mean, he stayed a long time, about seven of them.
Yeah.
He had like a 10-year of doing them.
That's true.
From 73 till 83, no, 85 actually. No, he had 12 years.
Yeah.
It was 85 by the time. And he used to always do the documentaries. When he stopped being James Bond, they got him to do a weird documentary right when Timothy Dalton's movie came out.
Yeah.
And so he's doing like a James Bond documentary. Do you know what I mean? Even though he left the role and all that. But he was always a good ambassador.
Yeah. I like when people are good sports about roles that they're known for.
Yeah.
And not like, oh my God, I've done so many other things other than that one thing. You know, those people suck.
But you find that with musicians, don't you?
Yeah. Like Alex Turner. He's not going to play Marty Bum anymore.
Oh, is he not?
No.
I like that song.
Well, he's moved past it.
Oh, no, because I like the last album. And I like the one before that, the casino one.
I didn't like
one.
The car one.
Did you not like the car one? I like the car really, one. I like the song.
Yeah. I did really like the Tranquility, casino. Base Motel, and Casino.
I remember I was just going, Casino, Casino, Casino. Because he said, don't expect us to write another AM, didn't he?
Oh, AM though.
Phenomenal. Great album, yeah. Step Out of It, I like that.
Too. I still listen to that album.
A great record.
So good.
I'm not going to write anything commercial for 10 years till I go on this existentialist trip. I'm going to hit you with a hit. You know what I mean?
No More Marty Bum.
No More Marty Bum.
Which I love that song.
Well, they always do that though, don't they? They just think, right, I don't want to do, yeah.
REM. Shiny Happy People.
Oh, they wouldn't play it.
Don't Play It Live.
They Don't Play It Live, yeah.
And I love that song.
I like that song because I like the B-52s.
Yep.
And it's a great song.
I sing both parts in the car.
But anyway, Roger sucked it. No, Roger. Roger was a good ambassador.
Yes.
And he just loved the series.
Roger is amazing,
love.
Hello, I'm KGB agent. Toss me off.
Oh, what is it with this sexual innuendo code names? I met a pussy galore last week.
The Americans aren't much better. I met a Miss Plenty O'Toole.
Obviously named after her father.
It's ridiculous. By the way, what is your code name?
Victor Jakimoff. James meets Jaws.
Oh, I love this bit because I've never been to Egypt. So there's a big light show going on. There's a big audience for the and it's going like the history of the pyramids.
Oh, it was creepy.
Oh, I really liked it.
With all the lighting going on and off.
Oh, I mean, if you were in the audience just like doing a tour of Egypt and it's like the pyramids without creepy Jaws in the background and stuff.
Bim, bim, bim.
Oh, you remember the keyboard?
Bim, bim, bim.
Yeah. The music was really good on this bit. They were seeing the pyramids and we're learning about the pyramids. Fakesh is chatting on with Amosov.
Anya.
He needs to pop off.
He needs to pop off. He wants to do some business or something.
So he just leaves her.
He leaves her, yeah. And then we'll have the Jaws.
Yep.
The spectre
so
of Jaws.
So we'll see Jaws. He's all lit up from the pyramid lights.
Oh, it's great though.
He looks terrifying.
Yeah.
James Bond is following them. Going to some sort of... I think it's...
I like it because there's lots of blackout, isn't there?
Yeah, so there's lots of bits in darkness.
All the blackout and then comes back in. I think when we're seeing it at the cinema, it is probably the most cinematic Bond in a way, really.
I didn't have time to check, but I think this is the Abu Simbel temples that they're going through. But I could just be absolutely full of shit. They're in Egypt, though.
They're in Egypt. You know what I mean? I would love to go to Egypt to just see that. I didn't even know they'd done that. You know, with in 18 such and such.
I don't know if they do it still now.
Do you know
what I think? It would be awesome if they did, though.
Oh, God, it would be brilliant.
Do you know Egypt, though? I didn't know this until I was shown on Google.
Yeah.
So you've got, like, the pyramids, and then you think it's just, like, desert, and then you zoom out, and you've got, like the city and everything, like, right next to it, and it's all built up, and it looks really crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so get on Google Earth and just type in, like, pyramids of Giza.
All right.
And then, because Giza, I want to keep saying Gaza, and it's Giza.
I knew you could say
Gaza. And then the city of Giza, what's like right next to it, is like a proper like.
I thought it was just on its own.
Nah.
I didn't realise there was a busy. So there's a busy kind of metropolitan.
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird.
Crazy.
Fakesh gets killed.
I mean, this bit was good because he's running away from Jaws, and it's a bit suspenseful, and you've got the music, and then you see him padlock himself in, I'm guessing, a tomb of some sort.
Yeah.
And then Jaws, it's like a horror film. He's just like briskly walking towards the door and bites through the chains.
I found that spooky.
Yeah.
It really carried on the kind of Dracula thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Of like Christopher Lee being in the previous one.
Is the whole thing with Jaws that he rips people's throats out and that's how he kills them?
I think so. The guy wasn't pleased.
Which one? Fakesh? He didn't look pleased.
Oh, God, yeah. Because like obviously Roger sees bits of it. But then the microfilm...
Microfilm's gone?
The microfilm's gone, yeah.
There's a little bit of a fight with two random...
Oh, yeah, which was totally unnecessary.
Yeah?
Like, I don't understand where that came from, actually.
You don't know who those two guys are. They're not going to return.
No.
Bond and Anya meet each other for the first time. Not thrilled. I think it's meant to be a kind of, will they, won't they, like, that they're trying to do. Because they're like, they're equals. They're secret agents.
Yeah.
Which I feel like, as good as this film is, that bit definitely doesn't really pay off because you know they're going to shag.
Because I would have liked it if he'd come back and sat by her and watched the rest of the Egypt thing.
Yeah.
She'd go like, where's Fakesh? And he goes, oh, he's gone off for a bite to eat.
Oh, my God. That would have
been good. That would have been good. You know, at Quip Central. Should have done that bit. But they didn't.
Yeah, but they didn't.
We're in Calabas, aren't we?
Mujaba.
That's it.
club. Oh, apart from the music being awesome, when he's getting beat up by those guys, and when Jaws is there, like, the lights are, like, synchronized to, like, the fighting.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought that was very good as well. I just wanted to...
It is spooky, though.
Yeah.
And to freak us out a little bit, watching it even. Well, not too much now, because I'm a big boy and I've seen it a lot of times. But,
I just wanted to point that out. It was very good.
And very then good. We'll go to Calvo's place.
Yeah.
And then we've got Bond and Triple X are having a little bit tete-a-tete, like having a drink.
Yeah, they know each other's drinks.
And my favourite bit was where Triple X goes, married only once.
Oh, yes.
He fucking stops at it.
Yeah, he's like, shut your fucking mouth. No.
Sean, slap. Connery comes out for a little cameo. Slap her. And then Lazenby comes out just to, like, think, she was my wife.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Reverts back to Roger.
Goes back to Roger. Yes, yeah, so I liked that bit. It made reference to on Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Yeah.
And also James Bond's past, which is weird because none of the other fuckers do.
Nope.
Jaws kills Calva.
Calva needs to go and make a phone call. That Calva guy is not very good at negotiations because James Bond and Anya are trying to negotiate for the microfilm and he's just like, oh, I'm blatantly giving it to her. Have you seen her? She's lush.
Yeah, beauty. Let's give her...
So that's quite fun. And yeah, he needs to go make a phone call, which means he's going to die.
Oh, yes, because Jaws...
Jaws is the fake telecommunications handyman.
He's in there.
Again, though, I mean, I kind of get that he's in a work uniform, so you wouldn't really pay attention to him.
Yeah.
But he's so huge, he'd still be like...
freaking massive.
Oh, that telephone guy's big, isn't he?
Yeah.
So...
I know, because it's like, do you think they've gone for henchmen that had Nick Knack, who was... restricted growth. And then they've gone, Jaws is freaking huge, like a giant.
Is formidable?
I know. Do you think it's subliminally saying, this is a bigger movie, everything's bigger?
Oh!
Do you know what I mean? Even the henchmen now, it's all rammed up, it's big.
I didn't think that until now, but now I'm thinking that.
Oh yeah, they go around the ruins, don't they?
Yes, so Calva's killed, he gets his throat bitten out by Jaws.
Yeah.
Bond finds him, and I didn't like that he just put that out of order. I know it was meant to be funny, but like, a man is dead, and he puts the out of order sign on him.
He does, doesn't he?
And then, oh, I love the bit because Anya and Bond jump into Jaws's van. And they're like chatting away and being like, oh, we'll just stay in this van and see where he goes, blah, blah, blah. They think they're so smart, smarty pants.
Yeah.
And really, Jaws can hear them. He can hear every word they're saying. He knows they're in the back.
He knows they're in the back, yeah. It's double bluff, isn't it?
Yeah, so I did like that bit. And Jaws, as you were saying, we're back in...
the ruins.
Yeah. I read somewhere that all the close-up things are really in Egypt, but anywhere where it's far away, or you can see, like, all the big ruins and whatnot,
yeah,
is Pinewood Studios, or...
Really?
Yeah, or in a different location. And I don't know what the rules are with Egypt, but maybe you're not allowed to think you can't film the actual ruins at the time.
Was it good ruins?
I know, it might have been that the one people to come and see it for themselves instead of watching... a film of it.
Oh, yeah. The van's good, though.
The van is good.
Because Jaws rips the side of the van, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. So we'll have a little... You know? I mean, I don't know why Jaws is... I don't think Jaws is very bright.
No.
I don't know why he's came to the ruins.
Yeah.
He knows they're in the car, but he doesn't take the keys out of the car.
Yeah.
He just gets out of the van.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because later on, Roger's got the little dingly-dangly key thing, hasn't he?
Yeah, so there's a little bit of a... There's a little bit of a fight.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a fight. All the bricks land on Jaws, so you think he's gone, but he's not.
Yeah, it's a bit...
He gets out.
Cat and mousey.
Cat and mousey, yeah. The van. So James and Anya get in the van.
Oh, I hated this bit.
That was good. Go on.
No.
That was a bit drivey. Make your words, Harold.
And so they're in the car, and you know, Anya can't drive a car with a gear stick because she's a woman.
Woman driver.
And so yeah, so we get woman driver, and can I play any other tunes? It's just like mashing that gearbox.
Yeah. You know what? Is if I was Anya, I would have went, "Oh, you're so crazy, you little sexist."
Oh, he would have got an elbow to the face. Best bit, she eventually manages to kind of half run over Jaws and kind of pin him against the wall. And she's like, shaken, not stirred.
Oh, yeah.
Bond has the gall to roll his eyes when she made a hilarious quip.
Oh, yeah. When he joined the Mile High Club and Tiffany went shaken, not stirred, Sean would have went, oh, no. He can't do the line back arrows.
Yeah, you know definitely I mean? Dish it out but not take it.
He can't take it. It's been dished out and it's not good.
And yeah, and then they go back to Cairo via boat.
Oh, yes, the cigarette.
Yeah, so...
Like that bit.
Anya makes out that she's about to be seduced by James Bond and then he goes to light a cigarette.
I've said it very quick.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff happening. There's lots quite of stuff. Short scenes.
They're quite short scenes, which I like. I think it fits a more modern... Because I know when I've watched the other podcasts and all the other reviewers, they like the more on the side of the more ones, the younger ones.
Mm-hmm.
Because the earlier ones are fascinated by the clothes and all, the setup, you know, the time and all that. But when you get the more ones, they are that little bit more spliced quicker.
Yeah.
And so I think it means they can get into it and they like the humour.
Yeah.
And plus it has loads of great action.
So now Anya has the microfilm.
Anya's got the microfilm, which is weird because it was a bit of a detente anyway, so they would have just shared it as it is. But she gets the cachet of getting it, doesn't she?
Yeah, because Bond is going to walk through some tombs and then you realise he's going to be in, I don't know, like
a makeshift. He goes down the little thing, doesn't he? Yeah.
It's like a makeshift M's office, I guess.
M's office, yeah.
Previously to this, we had the Queen Mary as a little makeshift office. And now we've got in an Egyptian tomb of some sort, or it may be a mosque, or it may be some sort. It's a place.
Yeah.
So there we go. So yeah, so there now we're going to see M and Moneypenny.
Yeah.
Who's it? Gargoyle? Is that the Russian?
Gogol. He's in loads of them.
So he's the Russian version of M?
Yes, he's in a load of Bond movies after this one.
Oh, as the Russian version of M?
As the Russian, as a recurring character, he's in tons. Now we'll have the Moneypenny scene, got the M scene, Stromberg's mention.
Oh, got a little walkthrough of Q's various gadgets.
Oh, yeah. I need that from Ackman's tea party.
They get a tea tray to smash through someone's face.
Oh, yeah. That would do that.
So you just see various Q things. And then they're looking at the microfilm.
Yeah.
And that's the old zoom in.
They're looking at the microfilm, they zoom in the microfilm, and they see the little picture, and they go like, and Anya sees, what is it, once again?
Oh, yeah, she's
that's
like...
That's the Stromberg.
Yeah, she knows that it's like the sign...
Of the Stromberg. But it's not James that does that. James gets the thing, and then she works out what it is. Is it not a cipher or something? There's a cipher on the corner, and she says, oh, that's a sign of the Stromberg Empire.
Oh, it must be, yeah. I thought it was going to be like a coin, but it's. I don't think he has his own currency. Although he's pretty rich, he's a billionaire.
Oh, God, yeah.
So maybe.
I mean, I like his setup.
Yeah?
His setup was good. It was a good setup.
We're now on a train. So we're going on the train from Egypt to Sardinia.
Yeah.
Sardinia is an Italian island. It's very nice there.
Yeah.
It's known for its turquoise seas and beaches.
Oh, yeah, look. beautiful. I'd said that, didn't I?
Yeah,
so, that
really nice, so it looks really gorgeous. Nice. So they're on the train. Anya has declined to have sex with James Bond again.
Oh, she's not doing it. She's not going out.
So you're in the cabin and they're all like getting ready for bed and stuff and he's trying it on and she's like, absolutely not.
No.
And she opens the wardrobe and obviously I nearly shit myself.
Oh, God, yeah.
The wardrobe. And Jaws is there, and it's horrifying.
Yeah.
And then he punches out with his massive fist.
Oh, yeah.
And she is, you know, strategically knocked out. Yeah. And then Bond has to fight him.
He saves the day.
Although it doesn't look good, though, for James Bond. I thought he was not going to get, like, beaten because it's James Bond.
Yeah.
But he has to electrocute his teeth. With the smash lamp.
If it's not a fucking hand on the train and then sort of like shoved out there, it's a bloody teeth.
Gets electrocuted, kicked out of a train window.
He gets the electrocution and he gets kicked out. Obviously, he's not gone. They could have done a spin-off series with Jaws.
Oh my God, they should have.
They should have. That would have been really good. So we have Jaws on the train and then we've got the Lotus Esprit.
Just before we move on from there, Anya Amasov will be Shag 23.
Oh yeah, she gives out.
Yeah. Because he's saved our life. There's been a fight and bloodshed.
Oh, yeah.
So this leads to coitus.
Is that the name of the carriage?
First class coitus.
The Lotus Esprit, because there's another bit of queuing, isn't there, where he goes, look after me car. And he goes, I always do. And then he drives off. And then Q looks pained.
Yeah.
Diuretically. Well, he's thinking, oh, no, not this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's
going to
fuck up me car. They have the meeting with Stromberg.
They go to the hotel.
Oh, yeah.
And I felt like the cheeky bitch receptionist judged them because they've got two separate bedrooms.
Oh, yeah. She was a bit...
I don't know how they've organised the Stromberg tour.
Yeah.
They have. And then... Anya's pretending to be his wife. James Bond's flirting with...
Oh, with the woman on the boat?
Yeah.
Who used to be the Navy Rum woman who did the adverts, the Navy Rum woman. Oh. She didn't have much clothes on in the Navy Rum adverts too much. Oh. I would have sold a lot of things.
See.
Get them in a bikini. Pretty sexist culture, you know, 1970s.
Oh, so we're in the
Stromberg.
So we're in like the lair, the octopus / spider lair.
Yeah. They always have a good talk, but he never shoots them.
Yeah. But yeah. I got really confused because the woman says beforehand, just to let you know, he doesn't like to shake hands.
Oh, God, yeah, and Roger. I mean, 007 goes to shake her, and he goes like that, doesn't he?
Yeah, there's no explanation as to why he tried to shake his hand anyway, have just been told...
He doesn't shake hands.
Doesn't shake hands. But then there's no explanation as to why he doesn't shake hands.
No, I didn't get that. I didn't even get how that was a thing to drop into a script.
You didn't know, was he a clean freak? Was it because he loves to say things, and so they don't shake hands, so he doesn't? Who the fuck knows? It's not going to get explained anyway.
No.
But yeah, so that was just weird. And then...
Oh, she shows the tanker off, doesn't she?
Liparis.
Liparis. So that's a good like little plot thing, isn't it? So
Clitoris.
Where's that? And don't mention these naughty words. That was a big plot thing dropped in, wasn't it?
Obviously,
because it pays dividends later on. Bond, he goes...
Bodger.
Bodger and Badger. Oh, I didn't like the front bit seemed strange. Obviously, because it opens up, doesn't it? He'd suss that out by just looking at that little model.
Commander Bond, didn't he?
No.
He knows ships.
And he knows he's shit. They get off, and then Stromberg goes, kill 007.
Stromberg knows who they are. He's sending Jaws after them. Oh, this is when he reveals to Bond that he wants to make, like, an underwater city, like, an absolute mentalist.
Oh, yeah.
But there's no kind of... The whole premise of this film, the whole mission... is to stop this insane billionaire from destroying the world to make, because he wants everyone to live under the sea. But like, I just thought it was quite a strange premise.
Because it could colonise the sea or something.
Yeah, but I mean, but we can't breathe.
We have to have all, like, oh, I don't know.
Like tubes and shit going from one place to another.
I'd rather just live on the wood by an estate. Well, actually, no, wow. I'd probably rather live underground, really.
You know, each to their own, if that's what he wants to do with his time and his billions. Yeah. But, I just... No one's like, wow, that guy's really insane. Like, it's not even mentioned to say, oh, yeah, sea colony, cool.
And that's the whole premise for the thing.
Yeah.
So he doesn't really want to take over the world because he's not really got any...
Well, I mean...
Well, he does want to blow it up.
He wants to destroy the world so everyone can live in the ocean. It's really weird.
That is strange.
Jaws is out to kill him, so there's a good car chase.
Oh, car chase, great. The duvet thing where you see all the feathers coming out and all that.
Love that.
Yeah. Them feathers and he couldn't fly.
Yes. Awesome quip.
We go underwater, don't we?
Nearly. Jaws is in a car. I don't think he realised that Jaws is in one of the cars, though.
I didn't at first.
I didn't realise.
I just thought it was just other people shooting.
Yeah, and then that goes off a smaller cliff, not the motorcyclist who gets completely killed because he can't fly.
Yeah. Oh, the feathers can fly.
And then... car goes through a house because you see the man sitting outside.
Oh, that's good.
I love that bit.
Yeah.
And then it's the old racist, Mamma Mia! Yeah. And I just love it because, like, Joel's just walks out the front
door. Oh, he couldn't give a fuck, could he?
Dusts off his shoulders.
He's like, well, he doesn't even look back on it. He just comes out the door and that's it. And he walks away.
Yeah, he's a good henchman.
The fact when the helicopter comes up from the rock, you see the Lotus Esprit going down on the road. And then from the little side of the rock thing, the helicopter comes up.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, that's good.
And it's a lady driving it because it's a speedboat / rum woman.
It's the rum woman who does get her come up and sadly... Even all that flirting with him, he ends up killing her, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He blows her up.
Because what happens with this amazing White Lotus Esprit?
It changes into a submarine, a.k.a. Wet Nelly.
Wet Nelly. So we've had little Nelly, and now we've got...
Wet Nelly. It's good. It's all good stuff. It's all good stuff. Yeah, I loved the Lotus Esprit. I remember seeing it at the cinemas and thinking, wow, this is great, because it does actually look like it's going to drive. Thankfully, the underwater scene's not that boring.
No, it's kind of just them driving about, really.
They have a little drive around, don't they? You know, Whitley Bay's over there. You know,
some kind of henchman happening.
Some of the henchmen, there's a little yellow thing comes towards them, and then they blow that up. Because we don't realise, we think that she doesn't know anything about this underwater car. And then she starts pressing the buttons, doesn't she?
Yes.
Because, in her words, I wrote it down, I stole the blueprints 2 years ago.
Oh, so...
She's a very good spy.
Yep, so the Russians and the UK have been spying on each other the whole time.
Yeah.
Before collaborating on this mission.
But it's not a bash the Russians kind of movie, though.
It's not. Well, because they're, like, the partners in this. Oh. I didn't realise, the little handheld. It's called a water scooter. Do you know when, like,
hold the back and there's, like, a little water? I quite like that one. Yeah.
We've got a water scooter. They die. We've got a little miniature submarine built for one. They die.
The thing goes on the bottom of the bomb, explodes.
Yeah, it's like a landmine, but for the sea.
Landmine. Oh, God, yes. Very Princess Di.
And then, to the amazement of the beachgoers.
Oh, the guy who takes a drink from his bottle gets very shocked when he sees the car coming up from the water.
Yeah. I mean, you would shit yourself. You'd just be like, what is going on here? I've got sunstroke.
It's weird. And then Roger has a little fish. He flings out.
Yes.
I don't know how that got in there, but still, it's good though. So he just kept it. He was, this is funny. Woo! You know, props not that camp. Triple X confronts 007, so we'll get to find.
Because you like this bit.
I thought it was good.
Yeah, so it's revealed that it's.
Yep.
James, that's killed Triple X's boyfriend.
Da-da-da-da. James goes, Ave, you're being chased by a big man. Then just give in to him. No. And they're shooting at you. You don't think of who you're shooting.
Yeah, yeah. You know, he's just like, well, in our line of work,
yeah,
it's kill or be killed. So Saz, in this instance, it was your boyfriend.
There's a lot to be said when Roger plays it. I don't know if plays the straight is the word. But when Roger plays it... Wait! When Roger plays it without the quips, he's still as good as when he plays it.
Yes.
Funny. The wife bit.
Yeah.
It was a great bit of acting. It wasn't over-egged. And this one wasn't over-egged either.
Yeah, you know, yeah. It was nice. It was like a little window into...
what goes on in the life of a spy.
Yeah. So I thought it was quite cute.
It's a lot more filled out, isn't it?
She kind of ruins it because she's just like...
oh, she wants to shoot him.
Yeah, she's like, well, when the mission is over, yeah, I'm going to kill you.
I'm going to shoot you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's not chuffed, even though I feel like he had a pretty good explanation of like, well...
that's what it is.
We all know what we're doing here.
We all know what we're doing. Plus, in the next scene, which we giggled at, there had to be...
oh, together, yeah, because they're getting winched down by the helicopter. Can you get winched down or winched up? Anyway, winched down.
It gets winched down.
They're getting lowered down from a helicopter, and obviously they have to be tied together, and he's smirking away.
You're thinking,
and
yay.
He's like, oh, you're not going to kill me now, are you?
Frosty Nicks. Yeah. They get put down there.
In an American submarine, Kua Anya is the only lady on board.
Oh, yeah, she has a shower scene. Do we see breasts there?
Yes. So not only does she immediately have a shower, even though I'm sure she showered like a few hours before, side tit.
Side tit.
First naked tit.
The guy comes in and he's looking in, and then the American guy went, you never seen a major showering before.
I know, what kind of submarine is this?
A Russian lady, I know. You never seen a Russian lady showering?
So before? Yeah, so you see some side boob.
Oh yeah, you see the side boob. But some guy, the guy's probably thinking, my God, his secretary's in the shower. You know what I mean? Because there's no way they would think it was a Russian spy.
That's true. You know, I was just thinking he saved that for the bank and he's running back to his corners.
Do you remember the little look that he gives before he shuts the door? He goes like, hmm?
Oh, he definitely gets a little second look in there. He's like, oh.
Ooh. Oh, and obviously we've got the next, for instance, of ship swallows submarine.
The Liparus.
I thought that was a woman's spit.
A clitoris?
No, that's what I make songs on. So, it's a liparis.
Liparis, that's nothing to do with any lady's parts. Oh. No, oh, like your vagina. Although I thought when it opened up it was a big vagina, were you in it?
Oh, yeah, it was actually.
Very...
I thought it was a vagina.
Freudian back into the womb.
So perhaps a confession's right. Perhaps it was a good idea getting him involved.
Well, the Liparis is actually a real ship.
Mm.
And I don't think they use the real ship. It's named after a Greek mythological king who had his own island called Lipari.
Lipari.
That's all I know. I didn't want to go too far into it.
Mm.
But yeah, it's like a big fanny opening up, swallowing up that submarine.
Swallowed up the little submarine. Because once it gets into this...
Oh, we're cooking on gas.
Oh, we're cooking on gas. We can steam through this.
Yeah.
Because there's not that much to really
on
about.
I'm sure I'll manage, but there's not that. It's basically come out, oh, you're going to be gassed with cyanide? Which I thought, so the submarine has got into Liparis.
Yeah.
And you see the other two submarines are there as well. And then, they put a little hole in the submarine.
Yeah.
So Stromberg can go on the microphone and it's like, right, everyone out or we're going to gas you. And that's chilling. With cyanide as well.
It's not
going to look good. So, strange enough, everyone gets out.
Oh, they all got out.
They got out pretty quick.
Anya had a good cover. Put her head in there in a cap.
Oh, yes. So they need to disguise Anya. And the way to do that in a submarine full of men and one woman is to just put a hat on her. That'll make her look like a man. That'll disguise her. Get her hair up.
Can you imagine Stromberg will go, somewhere in here is Anya. Let's get a little mouse. a little chair. The lady's going to stand on the chair while the mouse is going around, you know. Yeah, I mean, she got rumbled in about two. She got rumbled quite quickly.
Yeah, very quickly.
And then Stromberg took her.
Don't worry, she's not going to stay in that unattractive naval get-up for very long.
Oh, no.
Stromberg's got some spare clothes for her.
Spare women's clothing.
Don't leave home without them. It all just starts kicking off pretty quickly.
Great fight scenes. Lots of blowing up, lots of action.
Yep, the Russians, Americans and British unite.
Yep, yep.
Against a common enemy. We've got Stromberg bad guys that are in orange red jumpsuits.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I like the bit where Bond harpoons one of the men, but it goes through two of them. And then he also kicks someone down the stairs.
He kicks someone down.
Pretty good.
He was quite tough in it though.
Yeah.
Like, I thought Roger was really good and he didn't do his kung fu chops as much. But he was very savage in it.
Yeah.
Got the job done.
Oh, it was sad where there was some British guys that had to figure out how to get through because there's another stainless steel office.
Oh, God, yeah. Stainless steel, yeah.
And the British guys, they are like, oh, like, we'll see if we can find a way. And it's just basically they just sacrifice themselves.
Oh, they all got shot.
And that was sad because he was from the beginning.
It was at the beginning, but yes, so a lot of it did carry over.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is very rare in a Bond movie.
It is, yeah, because these are just nameless, faceless people.
Because they usually don't have a through plot.
Yeah.
You know, they'll go, right, we've done with that plot. Cairo's gone, so we know that bit and all that. But it did have people reoccurring.
Yeah, yeah.
It was good. There's a nuclear warhead, isn't it? So they were using that to detonate to go through the stainless steel.
Bond dismantles the bomb.
Oh, yeah. He talks a lot.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be really sensitive. What did you call it?
Oh, I just said he'd be fucking shit at operation.
That was it.
Because there's a lot of, like, So the nuclear warhead is encased in some kind of magnet whilst he's pulling the innards out of the warhead. If he touches anything surrounding it, even though it's magnetic, it'll go off and they'll all die. But he's chit-chatting away with people,
yes,
and everyone's like, oh yeah, be careful.
But you hear it go zzz, zzz, and all that. You could have butterfingered it there easily.
Could have. It sounded like he was butterfingering it the whole time, and you were just like, oh my God, what's happening?
It's not going to end good. I didn't think it was going to end good. I thought he was going to destroy the whole thing. But he doesn't. Yeah.
And then, because we were saying the dismantle the bomb, blah, blah, blah. And then the go on what I was saying, what looked like really old supermarket CCTV cameras.
Oh, yeah, they've got to think about that.
So we've got like a camera ball that travels on a little, like an electronic pulley system.
Yeah. Oh, yes, that goes along there to blow up the delicatessen.
Yeah,
The office. The office, because the missiles are going to get launched very quick.
Yeah, they've got like 4 minutes.
The missiles are going over, so they've got to do all that. They've got to get in. And then, is it Roger who changes the...
Well, kind of. The American captain does all the grunt work.
Does the grunt, yeah.
But, I mean, we'll give James Bond the win, I guess.
He presses a few buttons. He presses a few buttons. On.
Felix doesn't...
Control-Alt-Delete. Comes all out. And the missiles don't destroy...
They destroy each other. They reprogram it.
Because you are worried about the destroyed all our innocent lives, isn't it? Just blow each other up.
I was.
It's for the good of the movie, though.
Yeah.
Because it could have lasted a lot longer. Could have had a thunderball on my fucking hands.
We've still got a double ender. We just don't realise it yet.
Oh, yeah. Everybody gets away. But then the Atlantis has to get destroyed.
Yes. We don't realise at some point...
I would have just kept it as a fun fair thing.
Maybe as soon as Anya's taken by Stromberg, they're off to the Atlantis lair.
Oh, right. Yeah, that might make sense.
Because then it makes sense because she's changed into a
red
bikini
red
pants
thingy-ma-jiggy
ensemble, and she's tied to that weird chair that I couldn't decide looked like a dick and big balls.
Oh, yeah, God, Ozzy,
a lady's weird ass with legs.
Ozzy were really weird.
The weirdest chairs ever. But anyway, so she's tied to a chair. The Leporis blows up. We're on the American sub now, and
they have to go back.
They can't leave Anya, so they're going to give him an hour
to do it,
to sort it out.
He gets his little jet bike, ski, water bike.
The wet bike.
The wet bike, the water bike. The wet bike comes.
Which is pretty cool.
I like that.
I bet you everyone wanted one.
He looked like he could, he was driving, like Roger was driving it.
Maybe.
I think it could have been, though.
I'm going to say yes.
Because he's finally coiffed here and thinking, woo.
Yeah, you know, his hair's staying put.
I'm here. So he gets back and he has a confrontation with Stromberg.
And what happens when he gets on Atlantis?
Well, I don't know if you'll know about every episode begins with this line. I've been expecting you, Mr. Bond.
And we finally get it. We finally get the payoff.
Because we didn't know where it was from.
No, we didn't know where it was from.
It was like the hat. We didn't realise the hat was there all the time and the gun barrel scenes, and we didn't realise where that was from. I thought I'd made it up.
Yeah, so, good evening, Mr. Bond. I've been expecting you. And it's quite a quick...
Oh, he's quickly wiped out.
Bit of a weird one.
He shoots, doesn't he?
The sat at opposite ends of the table. I don't know what kind of gun he's meant to use.
The little gerbil thing.
Got a big gerbil tube under the table. He's going to shoot Bond.
Yeah.
But his gun only has one bullet.
Pathetic.
So, you know, premature. He's a bit premature.
James puts the gun underneath the gerbil thing, got rid of the gerbils, no gerbils harmed during the making of this movie. Fires it at Stromberg's crotch.
Shot in the dick. What a way to go.
Shot in the dick. And then he continues to shoot him, doesn't he?
He's determined to get him killed.
You know, so he's dead. I mean, dead.
He doesn't want to leave him and live with jewels.
No jewels. So that bit's quick. So the villain's off. The whole place starts filling with water.
Obviously.
Because we have Jaws, of course, with the...
Oh, God, yeah, but that's quite quick as well.
That's quick. Because there's a giant magnet, isn't it?
Yeah, so the little showdown with Jaws just ends up with James...
raising his eyebrow and going, look up there. And when he looks up there, the magnet attracts his silver teeth and then he's stuck on the magnet, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's...
And then he fights a shark.
Oh, yeah, he gets...
Jaws fights Jaws. Oh, that's good.
So he gets plopped into that tank and he's fine.
Our Roger says the words, how does that grab you?
Oh,
you know,
I missed that bit.
Although I might have just made that up.
Oh, but the finds Anya. They manage to go into some kind of bedroom pod.
Bedroom pod. We love the bedroom pod. Famous. Goes then into a ship.
Gets like shot out like a rocket out of the lair.
Out of the lair. Goes into the ship. M's there. Goggles there.
There's a Dom Perignon 1952 stocked in the bedroom pod.
Yeah. He thinks, because he pops his cork, not literally, that happens in a second.
Yeah.
And he thinks that she's going to shoot him, but she doesn't.
Because the mission's over.
The mission's over. I'm going to kill you, you fuck. And then you think, no, we got rid of Tiny Dick, so I'm just sticking with Roger. You know what I mean?
They're going at it. The pod floats over to wherever. Gorgoyle.
Gorgoyle is invented Gorgoyle.
Is Moneypenny there?
No, I think she's spared that bit.
Oh. Can't have too many women on a ship. So no, all that period blood capsize it. And then we obviously have the infamous M. Bond, what are you doing?
I'm just keeping the British end up. And it's the perfect way to end a movie. And I've got the gay choir at the end.
Oh, going, yeah.
What was it? Nobody does it better. And honest to God, you see the ending. When we went to see it on the big screen, I walked out and I was like, oh, that was great.
Yeah.
So a really good 2 hours. It's about 2 hours, 10 minutes or something like that.
I think it is 2 hours. 2 hours, 5 minutes.
All right. Well, it goes quick.
It does go quick.
It fucking flies over. Huge box office hit, which they liked.
How many gunshots?
Oh.
Out of 7.
I'm going to give it the 7.
Oh?
Yeah, I'll give it 7 because I really loved it. Every time I watch it, I really love it.
It is good. I'm going to give it 6.
Okay.
Only because there's a couple of bits that could have been chopped out.
Oh, yeah.
I understand why they existed.
Yeah.
But it was more for the establishment of other characters. And so some of it was a bit needless. But 6 out of 7, nothing to be sniffed.
6 out of 7 is brilliant.
Did you ever think of your alternative Bonds? So I'll set the scene. Roger Moore's pulled a hamstring the day before. The day before shooting. Yeah. Who is going to have to step in to be James Bond?
I'd said it yesterday. Ian Ogilvy. Because he said, which Witchfinder General, and he took over from Roger Moore.
Oh!
As the Saint on the TV.
Yes.
And I think when Roger was having thoughts about not doing any more Bonds, I think Ian Ogilvy's name was put forward.
Oh.
He's a great actor.
Waiting
he's
in really the wings. Good.
Yeah, he's good looking. He could probably do it. You know.
Well, I had 2 thoughts for alternative Bond.
Oh.
So, one of them I'm not 100% on, Michael York.
Oh, I love Michael York.
He's British.
Yeah.
He's a very good actor.
He's in Austin Powers and all.
He is in Austin Powers. I was more thinking how good he was in Cabaret.
Oh, I loved him in Cabaret.
He's good looking.
Oh, he's really handsome.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Michael York, strong contender. My alternative to the alternative would be Patrick Dewaere. I just said his name weird because he's French.
Just Doogie Howser.
He's a French actor. He was in loads of films. He's in a film with Gérard Depardieu, which will never be an alternative Bond because he's a bad guy. Allegedly, he's a bad guy.
Allegedly.
Patrick, yeah, he was like super famous in the 70s. Possibly, maybe the reason why no one's really heard of him now is because he killed himself in 1982.
Oh.
Just to put a real downer on it.
Michael York's a good idea, though, because he would have just been the right age to take on the Bond role, and he was amazing in Cabaret. If you've liked this episode, join us next time for...
Moonraker!
If you've liked this episode, please tune in next time.
You can also follow us on Twitter at Back to Bond Podcast and email backtobondpodcast@gmail.com.